Episode 185.
We recently added a couple rental vehicles, and I got them certified for Lyft and Uber for people to rent and drive. But I'm trying to build up the driver base as well. I'd like to tap into that. Now it'd be cheaper to send, I can send people out to go retrieve cars. We can do a concierge service, pick up and delivery, and markets that we're not really servicing right now.
Welcome, aftermarketers, to Remarkable Results Radio. Listen to learn just one thing from today's episode on your journey to remarkable results.
Hello, aftermarketers throughout North America and around the world. Carm Capriotto here, and thank you for listening to Remarkable Results Radio. Now, don't forget, besides listening on my website, iTunes, Google Play Music, Spreaker, you've also got my special podcast app available at the App Store for iOS and Android. Key in Remarkable Results Radio, download it, and install it, and have at it. And welcome to episode 185 with Bill DeBoyer. This episode is brought to you by Federal Mogul Motor Parts. They are the reason you enjoy these interviews twice per week. When you need innovation and quality, you need Federal Mogul Motor Parts. Brands like Moog, Felpro, Wagner Brake, Anco, Champion, Seal Power, FP Diesel, and more. They're the Parts Tech Trust. Find out more at fmmotorparts.com. Hey, I'm happy to announce that our weekly Town Hall Live podcast debuted last Friday. I broadcast this live industry forum at 12 noon Eastern Time on Fridays. Great subject last week, customer loyalty, college-level insights. If you missed it, just go to the Town Hall page on my website to watch the replay. Now, if you want to sign up to be in the audience, you can also find the link on the Town Hall page, and that's remarkableresults.biz/townhall. Hey, I love when you connect with us on Facebook, Twitter, and LinkedIn. It really helps support the show. A shout out to new Facebook friends, James Holt, Tare Raymond Sawera, hope I got that pronunciation right, and Ron Ipack. For my new Twitter followers, Technician Academy and ZF Aftermarket, and to my new LinkedIn connections, Rob Music, Rick Donia, and Claudia Ramos. Hey, I hope I got all your names right. I hope to see you at Vision High Tech Training and Expo this year. Don't hesitate to look me up. I've got a recording booth there and plan to do interviews. Hey, more details to come on Vision on my social media sites. Keep an eye. Now, meet Bill DeBoyer from DeBoyer's Auto, Bill's second generation selling service and used cars. His dad, Bill Sr., started the shop in 1982. Now, Bill and I get into many trending subjects like ride sharing, technology disruptors, 20 groups, and mastermind groups. He shares his Car Care Club program that he just implemented, his perspective on the used car business, and the differences in the way new cars are sold in the U.S. compared to Europe and China. We cover concierge service, AMI and his AAM certification, the Manheim car auction, and his move to a digital vehicle inspection program. There's more bio information on Bill on his show notes page at remarkableresults.biz/E185. Now, here's a jam-packed episode with Bill DeBoyer. I'd like you to meet the co-owner and vice president of DeBoyer's Auto. His dad, Bill Sr., started the business 35 years ago. Besides automotive repair, DeBoyer's is a used car dealer. Today, my guest runs business development, sales, the service department, process improvement, human resource, and technician education programs at the company his father founded over three decades ago. Are you ready to share your remarkable results, Bill DeBoyer Jr.?
Yes, absolutely.
Hey, glad to have you here. Man, that's a lot of things that you do for the company.
Yeah, I like to keep it busy, always doing something.
I bet you are. I can't wait to get into all the great things that you're doing in the company. But, it's always great to pay homage to Dad.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it wouldn't be DeBoer's Auto if he didn't start it way back when, I mean, it's kind of a unique story. It's an immigrant story, He came over to Holland when he was 2 years old and, just kind of fell in love with cars. At the age of five, he jacked up his father's old Chevy and couldn't figure out how to throw the lever on the old bumper jack and let it back down. So he had to go tell Dad that he jacked up the car and he couldn't get it back down.
You know, you learn from your mistakes, don't you?
Yeah, that's for sure. But, you know, he didn't have it easy. I mean, at the age of 15, he lost his father. So it was, you know, my grandmother and three sisters. And he's in Eastern Christian school. And he's struggling with that a little bit. He wanted to go to the VOTEC and learn the automotive trade. And the church elders didn't think that that would be the best path. So he dropped out of high school and started working at the local Ford plant. And then the Ford plant closed. So, and then he started DeBoer's Auto. So he raced, you know, late 60s and 70s with, you know, all the muscle cars. That was his big passion.
Sure, sure. Now he's active in the business every day.
Yeah, no, not so much now. He's retired. He stepped away last summer, took a road trip cross country in their RV, and he stops by day to day just to check in. But, you know, he's really not really involved that much.
Isn't that a great feeling when, after all these years, he's running the business and, you know, so many dads hate to give up control. And yep. He said, JR, or whatever he calls you, yep. Bill, I'm out of here. Yep. And I have no worry in the world.
Yep. You know, it's been great. He actually, even from the standpoint when I came into the business, he really gave me carte blanche. I mean, he really didn't try to control things too much. He kind of just let me meander on through my ways and give me his 2 cents. And we just rolled with the punches and grew the business.
As a young man, did you grow up in the business? Were you just like hanging out with Dad?
Yeah, absolutely. Saturdays at the shop, you know, all the way back when it must have been second or third grade. You know, we'd stop at McDonald's on the way in the morning, and I'd get the old pancake breakfast, and it'd last me all day, you know.
Did you realize you wanted to be part of the business and eventually own it someday when you were a young man?
Not really. It really hadn't thought crossed my mind. I mean, he never really forced me or kind of, he just let me do what I wanted to do pretty much, you know. It wasn't until I took that computer class and it didn't really stick with me that I started looking for alternatives, you know.
So you joined the business 20 years ago, and even though you say computers wasn't your thing, I remember you telling me that you love high tech.
Yeah, I love technology. So graduating in the early 90s, I said, well, if I'm going to go into this automotive business, I better learn it. So I went to the county college. I got my automotive certificate as well as a business degree there as well. And that was right around the time that, you know, OBD2 was coming out. It was like 94, 95. That was a big buzz, you know. So I got real passionate about that, all the technology changes that were coming out in the automotive field. So, you know, I just took it from there and ran. I mean, I do enjoy technology. I just don't enjoy sitting at a computer screen banging away.
I get it. Now, you wrenched for how many years at the business?
Oh, good long time. I mean, I still wrench today. If we need a set of hands in the shop, I'll jump out there and wrench, you know. I mean, that's pretty much do what we got to do to get it done, you know.
What's the main area of responsibility that you give to the business, something that you just love to do every day?
I'm pretty passionate about marketing and business development, you know, just trying to always look for those avenues where we can, you know, what's working for us, what's not working for us, where we can add some more money to the bottom line.
Is the used car business tough today?
Yeah. Oh yeah. It's very tough. I mean, you know, the internet, as much as it's been a help, it's been a hindrance as well. I mean, it took a lot of the gross profit out of both new car and used car side of the business. I mean, profits have shrank dramatically since the internet's come along. So it's a whole different ballgame.
But who could do something about that? I mean, is it just a race to the bottom?
Pretty much. I mean, I don't know if you'll see margins come back, if that's what you're asking. I mean,
yeah,
I think it's
right.
Pretty much, you know, there's a number of programs out there that even the auction Manheim, they're a big conglomerate. They're owned by Cox, and they actually have a evaluation tool out there called V-Auto. And it'll give you the demand and the volume of the car that you're looking at and base the value off of that. So they try to get you to sell the car a little bit cheaper and hope that you move a couple more units instead. So it's kind of, it plays with the profit margins quite a bit.
So you're looking for volume. You're not looking for big profits per car.
Right.
And is that the strategy of DeBoer's?
No, I mean, you know, our goal is just to find good homes for the cars, you know, preferably our service customers, sell them a good car, take care of it for years, and then they trade it back in and go into something else nicer and newer, you know. So, I mean, we're not really a big volume store. I mean, we just we have a small lot, so we're limited on what we can stock. So we do, you know, and that's where the service end of the business came in. You know, in 1997, when I came into the business, that's when we started doing service work. So that was when New Jersey was going to the IM 240 inspection program. So, you know, a lot of exciting stuff that was going on at that time.
Brake jobs are a staple component of all successful shops, and getting the brake job right helps build a quality reputation for any shop. When the best is called for and stopping distance, rotor wear, and pad life are important to every shop and its customers, Wagner OEX brake pads are your only choice. Based on benchmark testing conducted by Link Engineering Company, Wagner OEX pads can stop a pickup, SUV, or CUV up to 50 feet sooner. Based on internal testing comparing new Wagner OEX to other Wagner offerings, the unique design of Wagner OEX increases pad life up to 2 times longer. The customized shape and slot design of each of the more than 114 SKUs creates a turbulent airflow that allows for cooler operation and improved stopping power for the vehicle on which it was designed. Wagner OEX cover 95% of the U.S. market of pickups, SUVs, and CUVs. Wagner has the science behind stopping perfected. They conduct 13,000 critical tests each year, and as of today, have 258 issued patents with 68 patents pending. Wagner has earned their stripes. Now they want to earn yours. Install Wagner OEX, the customized brake pad that can stop your customer's truck up to 50 feet sooner. Bill, you have a car care club that I noticed on your website. Mm-hmm. What's that all about?
Well, it's a way for us to reward our good, loyal customers. So, you know, not giving away the $25 oil changes, but building that value in. So if they're coming to us on a regular basis and we're getting other services out of them, that we provide some value. And, you know, there's a number of different things in there. But it's all totaled. It's like $400 in discounts that are available to people for, you know, $139. So it's been going over real well. We just started that after we came back from, it's an idea that came out of the Ratchet and Wrench conference we were at.
Hey, what kind of tech advances could disrupt your business model in the next, say, 10 years?
Well, I don't know if, I mean, there's a number of things that are kind of on the horizon. I think, and I don't know how it all plays out. I've been trying to go over my mind for a while now. But I think there's going to be a shift in the manufacturers selling direct to customers. So, I mean, you see that with Tesla now. It's been testing the franchise business model all over, you know, pretty much every state that they do business in. You know, what if Ford and Toyota and all these guys start selling direct? What happens to those dealerships that are selling those cars, you know? So that could be a major disruption.
Do you think that it's better for the aftermarket, the repair side?
Yeah, absolutely. I think there'd be a number of advantages. I think through that, you're going to see, you know, we've been constantly shrinking. 08 purged a lot of dealers. And I think going forward, you're going to see the dealer count shrink even more. You know, more recently, Chevy tried to buy back 400 Cadillac stores and I guess smaller markets so that they can try and sell direct to customers there. It didn't go over too well, but you know, the franchise model that we have in the U.S. is kind of broken. You look at around the world and there's nothing else set up like that as far as car sales go. I mean, you know, over in China, they sell cars door to door. You know, Europe abandoned the franchise model years ago. So it'd be interesting to see. I mean, it's going to be a major disruption. And then what do those guys do? I mean, they got a lot of money invested in property and real estate. You know, and I think the game will probably be for them to shift to doing more used cars.
I see. So here it is, these big conglomerates, they'll own, what, 40 or 50 brands mm-hmm. in 25 or 30 dealership sites. And are they holding the power over Detroit, if you will?
You know, it'll be interesting to see who wins that battle. Because, I mean, Detroit's got to watch it a little bit, too, because they're going to need service points for those vehicles. So, you know, do they go the model of, like, the lawnmowers and stuff, or they just go to independent repair shops and pay warranty on that sort of stuff? So, I mean, the whole airbag thing kind of, you know, with Tonka, it was such a big hit that the federal government was looking at having the independents do the replacements for those airbags. Yeah. So, they were real quick to try to put that down. But, you know, I could see that sort of model going forward where, I mean, there's just so many more independent repair shops and there are, you know, new car points to get service at. So
you're bringing up great, great points. Your business, any plans for expansion? Ever think of a second location?
I have. I mean, second locations are tough. You know, it's a pretty big barrier to jump. I mean, a lot of people have done it successfully and some not so successfully. Right now, I'm kind of focusing on the ride-sharing aspect of the business and trying to capitalize on that to grow my business. Right now, our typical service area is anywhere from 5 to 8 miles. We're kind of a rural area. We got 140,000 people that live in our county, so kind of a smaller demo. But, you know, with the ride-sharing, I mean, we recently added a couple rental vehicles, and I got them certified for Lyft and Uber. For people to rent and drive, but I'm trying to build up the driver base as well. I'd like to tap into that. Now it'd be cheaper to send, you know, I can send people out to go retrieve cars. We can do a concierge service, pick up and delivery, and markets that we're not really servicing right now.
Okay. I love the concept of concierge and reaching out and providing them that seamless integration to your place. And you're saying that you would use Lyft or Uber to be that conduit to bring the customer back to the shop?
Yeah. Either bring the customer or run one of the guys. I mean, that way you're not sending two guys. I mean, the rides are cheap enough, you know, $6 to $10, you know, to retrieve a car and bring it back to the shop so that we can service it and then deliver it to the customer again. You know, we can start going into those, the more populated areas in the county, where the higher home values are, you know, the higher income households. We can hit some major employers over like in the county seat area. You know, there's some large employers where we can just go to the work site and retrieve vehicles and service them.
Okay, rideshare pricing. I just can't believe how affordable it is. And I've taken it at a couple of cities this past year and just blew my mind, especially when I found out what the taxi would cost. Is there going to be any major changes that are either going to lift that price up, that no pun intended, or the taxi is going to get competitive? What do you see? What do you hear?
I'm not sure where that's going to all play out. I think really what the end game is the driverless vehicle. I mean, right now the drivers are the largest cost for those companies. So if they can go driverless vehicles, I wouldn't be surprised if a Lyft or an Uber, I mean, GM put $500 million into Lyft. I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if you see like Uber start building their own driverless cars and becoming a driverless car manufacturer.
No doubt. Absolutely no doubt.
So once the drivers are out of the picture, I mean, it's just going to be that much cheaper, I would think. And the real strategy for them, I mean, they're just going to be the go-between, you know, the phone and getting a ride. And it's kind of, it could even become a scenario where it's kind of like the iTunes model. I mean, do you buy the song or do you buy the album? I mean, does this get so cheap that it makes sense that you don't own a car anymore? Do you just take what you're paying for a car payment, insurance and maintenance, and just say you have a $600 to $800 budget for car rides a month, you know?
Frankly, I think your prognostication, if that's a real word, is right on. And it may be 20 years, but I think there's going to be such a disruption. And I don't see it in the next 10. I see autonomous cars coming out 2020. I see a lot of the states. I see this whole business model change. I think there's going to be four or five evolutions of it in the next 20 years, but no doubt If I need my mother-in-law, who lives 25 miles away, to get here, because I'm cooking dinner and I can't leave to go get her, I'm going to pick up the phone and I'm either going to ask an Uber or a Lyft driver to go get her and bring her to me, or I'm going to dispatch a driverless car.
Exactly. Well, that's what we just put the Lyft dispatch program into our shop. You know, it's on the desktop and, you know, we just order rides for customers or for ourselves, you know, depending on what the situation is, you know, to go get vehicles or bring customers to us. And
you're not charging the customer?
No, it's passed through.
It's passed through now.
Yep.
Some shops actually will offer rentals and the customer pays the rental if their car is going to be down. Some have loaner cars. And you're choosing to do it with Lyft and Uber.
Well, that's one piece of it. We also have the free loaner and low cost rental that we put in with our rental units as well. So, going back to the Car Care Club, if somebody's a member of our VIP club or our Car Care Club, they have access to the free loaner vehicle. And if they don't belong to the club, then they can get a cheap rental car, you know, $25 a day rental versus the $40 enterprise vehicle.
I'm fascinated by your thinking. Concierge service. We've talked about it on the show in the past. I love it. I think it is the next evolution of, if you will, white glove service or whatever anyone wants to market it as. How much of it are you doing?
We're just starting to get into it. We've just added it. Like a lot of this came out of the ratchet and wrench, you know, really sparked a real fuel in my belly to move and change things at the shop. So, you know, all that stuff kind of came on. I added the rentals in October, got everything certified in November. So we're just starting to really get into our stride now with it.
So I'm curious about the ratchet and wrench conference. Were there subjects specifically tailored to this particular subject, or did this all come through your networking?
It was kind of something I had going into the show. You know, going out there, I had a stack of trade press that I had to catch up on, and some of this, you know, one of the big things I do, you know, I kind of have my foot in a number of different industries. So I follow the new car trade press, the used car trade press, obviously the aftermarket trade press, and the automotive rental news. And, you know, this is where I picked up on this stuff, was in the automotive rental news on my flight out there. So kind of caught my eye and looked into it. I've been working with my business coach and looking on how we could grow the business. And we were talking about adding rentals to the business in September, right before the trip as well. So that kind of all came together, and, you know, that's where we're culminated, where we're at today.
Training for your techs. How are you going about keeping them current?
Chris Chesney's platform with CarQuest TechNet, and doing the AVI videos over there.
How many hours a year are you telling your techs they need to get?
I don't have any quota, but, you know, if we're not busy in the shop, if we grab a half hour, an hour here or there, you know, we're probably averaging probably about 50, 60 hours a year training. We're also going to G's event there.
Oh,
the big show.
Yeah.
We put that on the calendar. I was never really aware of that, but, you know, you guys brought that to my attention. So we'll be headed up there in March for that.
Yeah. I went last year, interviewed some guys, put it out on a podcast. What an event. I was really impressed with the caliber of trainers that were there. It was pretty impressive. Now G invited me to go down again this year.
Nice.
Being a top technician takes a lot of hard work. And you can't do it alone. I believe you would agree, vehicle technologies, repair procedures, and diagnostics are changing every year. That's where Federal Mogul Motor Parts' Guru Garage can help. The Garage Gurus program has been designed by and for technicians and offers the most comprehensive program of support tools in the industry. There's a nationwide network of Guru on-site training and technology centers where you can get hands-on training with the equipment and tools needed to solve real work-related challenges. And when you can't make it to on-site training, there's Gurus Online, a 24/7 online academy with a huge catalog of course options. Garage Gurus also helps where it matters most, on the job, in your shop. Their Gurus on the Go technology fleet, well, they bring the latest products and technology demos right to you. If you need a quick part lookup, the Gurus On Demand app gives you fast, easy, and accurate info. And when you need help with a technical issue, their bilingual ASE-certified gurus on call are ready to help. And this year, they're introducing the Garage Rewards Loyalty Program, which gets you points towards free gear from your favorite Federal Mogul Motor Parts brands. It costs nothing to join, and you could start earning points immediately. So head on over to fmgarageguru.com, learn all about the Garage Gurus program, and start earning points today. Okay, so you're a systems guy. What's, like, important systems inside DeBoyers that really makes you guys stand out?
I mean, I'm big on checklists, so we use a program called Asana. We have, daily, weekly, monthly checklists built out in there. You know, we have our inspection program that we launched this year as well, our digital vehicle inspection.
Yeah. Whose is it?
We're using our software, WinWorks Inspect.
All right.
So that's who our repair management software is. They launched it in June. So I've been on that platform trying to work out some bugs with them.
So the SMS and the DVI are connected, if you will.
Yes.
Or they're seamlessly integrated because it's one program.
Right. So when you do the inspections, it actually attaches to that work order in the system, and you can go back and everything's right there. You know, inspection, work order, inspection, work order, inspection, work order.
Has the inspection really had an impact?
Yeah. Yeah, the inspection has definitely had an impact. I mean, we're still trying to work through some of the processes, but, it's definitely helped out. I mean, the guys in the shop have just been going through and very, very thorough with the inspections.
Bill, do they realize it's having an impact on the average work order?
Yeah, absolutely. They can definitely see the difference.
And in the beginning, did they fight you on this extra time they needed to put in?
Not all. No, not at
okay.
all. I mean, we're a real tight team. So, I mean, everybody works really well together here. And, it was just off to the races. This is, I had tried inspection programs a couple years ago and they weren't quite there yet. So we stuck with the old, I actually had laminated inspection forms. We do with the dry erase, take a picture, it upload it that way, kind of a clunky workaround. But now that, WinWorks rolled it out, it's all built into the software. It's, much more convenient for us to do that.
It's amazing to hear you say that. I remember doing an interview with someone who had this big whiteboard, and they had cameras up on them because the shop was so long, and then they had TV monitors in the deep inside the bays so the guys could look up and actually see the eraser board and changes going on. And today with the software and workflows, it's amazing where the technology is headed to have the best customer service that you could possibly have and have the customer know where their car is in the stage of repair.
Yep. Yeah, absolutely. So that's the other part of it is we're texting people, status updates as we're going through the repair process with them.
Bill, social media, is it big in DeBoyers for the way you reach the community and engage current and new customers?
Absolutely. We've been huge on social for a long time. It was part of, we're on a kind of a unique, sales and automated marketing system called HubSpot. That's what our website runs on.
Yeah.
And, we run all our email campaigns, our social media, all through that. So it's kind of changed a little bit over the years. Going back, I think, 2014 is when we switched over to that platform. Things were a lot different. We were posting social media three times a day, and we were having a lot greater reach. Nowadays, they only serve up 6% of what you post to, your fans. So it's a very small number. So we kind of dialed that back, but we also increased the ad spend with, Facebook marketing and Instagram and that sort of stuff.
So when you say it only 6% gets out, why didn't you just increase the frequency?
Well, I mean, three times a day, I mean, that's a lot of content to pump out if you're doing three times a day as it is. We broadcast out to, Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, Google+. We also broadcast on Instagram. I think our reach is just better managed now. And that's what they're trying to, they want you to pay to play. They don't want you to get your message out there for free. So Facebook is starting to monetize all that.
They sure are. They
still a very good buy, though, for the money.
You think of dad, you think of what you're doing in the business, what's one thing that makes DeBoyers so great?
I just think that we over-deliver on our value proposition with our customers. I mean, we just, you know, we're not the cheapest shop. As a matter of fact, we're probably one of the most expensive shops around. You know, not as expensive as the dealerships, but with that, I mean, we just over-deliver on the value to the customers. We go above and beyond and make sure everything's just right, do the right thing all the time, and, you know, just deliver the best value that we possibly can.
What makes you tick?
I just love generating business and talking to people and keeping things going.
Your escape?
Well, I got a few. I mean, my wife and I, we like to go out in the outdoors quite a bit. We do a lot of hiking, biking. We do skiing, kayaking, you know, into all the outdoor stuff. So enjoy quite a bit.
What about the winter? Do you love the cold?
I don't mind the cold. I don't like working in it, but I sure like playing in it. So, you know, nothing like skiing on a fresh dump of snow.
You know, and I'm surprised, Bill, that you didn't say that one of your escapes was to get in an airplane and go up in the sky because you have your pilot's license. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, we enjoy that too. It makes traveling a lot easier. So we enjoy that as well. We, you know, getting around for business, it helps. I mean, I can, you know, when I fly down to the auction, it's an hour flight versus a 3-hour drive each way. So it makes the day a lot shorter.
So you're taking a plane from where you are to Mannheim.
Yep.
Turning around. And so do you have your own plane?
Yeah, I own half an airplane. I have a partnership with a guy in town that has a really good restaurant.
It's not the cheapest thing that you do.
Yeah, it's not that, you know, I got a very economical plane, so it's very good on gas. Burns about 10 gallons an hour and very low cost for maintenance, so
great.
It's really not that expensive.
When did you get your license?
Probably about 2 or 3 years ago now.
Good for you.
Took me about 2 years to get, so.
I've always wanted to do that. Yeah, I'm fascinated with helicopters, yeah. And I guess that's more difficult than anything, right?
Yeah, way more expensive too.
So 20 groups, are they good?
Yeah, I got a lot out of my 20 group. But I think, you know, it ran its course with me. You know, actually we're starting up I'm working with Adam Kushner and Greg Bunch. We're doing a mastermind down in Florida, Orlando, January 28th and 29th. So the mastermind's a little bit different format. The 20 group, you know, it's great for teaching your business processes and, you know, people come in, they do a site evaluation, you look at the numbers, but there's never that complete focus on the individual. So, you know, with the mastermind group, you know, somebody takes a turn in the hot seat, everybody gets a chance, and it's all about you and what you're dealing with and what you need to grow the business. And, you know, it's a lot of encouragement and feedback and shared goals amongst the group versus...
So you're doing a mastermind in Florida in January of 2017.
Yep.
And that's the initial meeting? And this mastermind is going to be perpetuate, what, once a week with a conference call with your team?
Yeah. We're going to leave it up to the group and see what falls out, what works best for everybody. Ideally, we'd like to meet 3 or 4 times a year around the country. You know, whatever makes sense demographically for everybody. And then tie in phone conferences and such along the way, you know, Facebook groups, that sort of stuff.
So if I was interested, I owned a shop and I was interested, do I apply and do I give you my, like, if you will, resume or DNA about my business?
Yep, exactly. You can head over to autoshopgrowth.com and apply for membership there. It's really affordable. You know, the fees are very, very cheap, and we're trying to keep the costs down by keeping it in very economical travel locations right now. You know, like Orlando is real cheap and easy to get in and out of for everybody usually. So,
what drove you to do this?
You know, I don't want to take anything away from the 20 group because, you know, I consider that to be my master's degree, but I felt like at the end of it, I had run my course with it. You know, you go through a certain burnout of churn in the group. And, you know, a lot of times new guys come in and you waste a lot of time getting them up to speed on, you know, what they're doing wrong and their business. And but meanwhile, everybody else is already that much further ahead. So there's a disconnect there. So,
but where's the senior 20 group and then the, you know, the different levels so that you can continue to move up and through?
Maybe that wasn't really so much available to me on my side. I went through the used car side. I never participated in a 20 group on the independent aftermarket side.
Okay.
Which is kind of boggling to me because, you know, on the used car side and on the new car side, it's very limited on how many facilitators there are of 20 groups versus the proliferation of them on the aftermarket side.
Could you be a facilitator of a 20 group?
Yeah, I guess if the opportunity presented itself, I could be. Not really my main goal right now is just to keep growing DeBoer's Auto.
Are the guys that are going to come in? I'm sorry, I'm perpetuating my story here on this mastermind, but I love masterminds. I'm in one for podcasting.
Yeah.
Yes.
That's great.
And I get in the hot seat and so I appreciate it. It's actually an accelerator mastermind
exactly.
type group. And I love it, and it's made me better. What do you tell someone who says, "Oh God, I want to join your mastermind group, and I can't wait, and here's my check"? Do you actually have to say, "Time out"? You want to find out what they need or want from it?
Yeah, well, Adam's taking care of all that. Him and actually Greg Bunch is doing his own mastermind as well for multi-shop owners.
Okay.
The whole concept behind the mastermind, you know, the thing with the 20 group is that they were really good. You never got a lot of individual attention like you do with the mastermind. The mastermind is more of whatever that person needs and just complete focus on them. And it's kind of like the 1 + 1 = 3. So you know, however many people are in your group, I mean, that's how many brains you have working on this. You know, it goes back to Napoleon Hill with his book, Think and Grow Rich, you know, talking about the Rockefeller habits. And it's just, I think it's a much better format for the stage that I am in my business. So,
Bill, unlimited time, unlimited money. What would you do?
I'd probably be doing what I'm doing now. Just love what I do. So I don't think I'd do anything different. I don't see myself slowing down anytime soon. I'd buy a faster airplane, I'll tell you that much.
Oh, smart. A faster airplane.
Yeah.
So how fast does the one you have now go?
It goes about 100 knots an hour, so, you know.
So what would you be looking for, something at 400?
I'd be happy with 250.
At least you know exactly what it is that you need. So, Bill, you received your AAM from AMI.
Right.
Automotive Management Institute. How long ago did you get it, and do you value all the training?
Oh, absolutely. I had a unique circumstance because I went to, you know, I didn't just go to college to get a degree. I knew where I was going, so I tailored my education to that. But at the same time, you know, realistically, I probably should have been in a Northwood sort of setup. Really, I didn't know anything about it at the time. You know, the internet wasn't around back in the early 90s like it is now to get on there and find this stuff. So, you know, I went to Penn State, got a good solid business degree, but, you know, they didn't teach me the automotive stuff there. So I came out and I don't know how new AMI was at the time, but, you know, I caught wind of it. Went down, there was a place nearby in Philly that they were putting on a 2-day event. Got like maybe 10 or 12 credits out of the deal. Gary Gunn was down there, met him for the first time. And, you know, just from there, it just taught me everything I needed to have in the aftermarket space as far as running a, you know, repair shop. Ended up going through the NAPA management program through it. Mitch Schneider's books went, you know, I picked up on all those to get the credits there for that. I mean, it just, I can't go on and on enough about it. It was very, very good.
Would you recommend to anyone in the industry at your level, just getting started, to just get into AMI online?
Absolutely. Yeah. I got actually Colleen, I have in my store. She's working on hers now. So we started her out this last quarter, working towards hers.
She is your service advisor?
Yeah. Service. Yeah. She's a lot of things. So we're a small team, 5 people. We all wear many hats. So she does a lot of different things, but service writing is a large part of it.
Hey, thanks so much for being here. Is there anything that I failed to ask you that you've got a burning desire to tell me?
I don't think so. I think we covered it all pretty well. I thank you for doing this podcast because, I mean, it's one more extension of all the learning that I've had over the years is, you know, listen to your podcast. It's really helped me reignite my passion for the industry. You know, there's so many great guys and, like I said, you know, in the used car world and stuff, I've been around to conferences and you meet all these different people. And I got to say that my most favorite is hanging out with the aftermarket people. It's just, salt of the earth, you know, good, hardworking people and just doing the right thing.
Got it. Finally, great words of wisdom to live by.
If you want it, just keep working and hustling and you'll get it.
Bill DeBoyer Jr. from DeBoyer's Auto Inc. Hey, thanks for being here, man.
No problem. Thanks for having me. It's been a treat.
Hey, aftermarketers, thank you so much for listening. Now, find additional show notes on Bill DeBoyer exclusively on the show's episodes page on Remarkable Results Radio's website. And the URL is remarkableresults.biz/E185. Hey, that's also the place where you can watch Town Hall Live reruns. Hey, if you're driving, thanks for listening. You figured out how to connect your smartphone to your car's Bluetooth. It's a wonderful thing. Hey, thanks for being a loyal listener. Do me a favor. Share the podcast with just one friend in the industry. That helps spread the value of the content, and we all benefit from the insights being shared. I'm grateful and thankful for your support. Thanks for being on board to listen and learn from another inspiring aftermarket professional. Until next time.